Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're going to wrestle with a paradox that I think is driving, well, pretty much every single person in the knowledge economy absolutely crazy. We are just drowning in information, right? We have access to everything. But, and this is a big but, actually creating something useful, something people want to consume, is it's harder than ever.
It's the classic bottleneck shift. I mean, 10 years ago, the hard part was distribution. You know, getting your video on TV or your book in a store.
Right.
Today, distribution is basically free. The hard part is production.
Exactly. It's the blank page problem, but like on an industrial scale. And to explore this, we are looking at a collision of two completely different worlds today. It's a bit of an odd couple.
It really is. Yeah. Clash of philosophies.
So on one side, we have what I'm calling the fortress. That's OpenOLAT.
Okay.
It's a Swiss-made learning management system.
Yeah.
An LMS. It's used by universities, massive corporations, government entities.
Yeah.
Serious business.
Think of OpenOLAT as the heavy infrastructure. It's the university campus itself, the lecture halls, the testing centers, the high security records room.
Right.
It's robust, it is secure, and it is structured.
And then on the other side, we have the factory. This is the newcomer, the Auto Content API. It's a content transformation engine that claims you can take boring old text and turn it into podcasts, videos, quizzes automatically.
Right. So if OpenOLAT is the campus, Auto Content is the high-speed printing press, the film studio, and the radio station all roll into one API connection.
So the mission for today is to figure out what happens when you plug that high-speed factory into the secure fortress. How can a generative AI tool revolutionize a platform that's famous for being stable, secure, and, well, frankly, a little traditional?
Well, it comes down to solving what I call the empty shell problem. And this is a problem I see everywhere.
An empty shell problem.
Yeah. You can build the most magnificent learning path in OpenOLAT. You can have the perfect course structure, perfect permissions, perfect security. But if the content inside those folders is dry or just non-existent, it's just an empty shell.
It's like building a beautiful library and then just filling the shelves with nothing.
Or filling them with dusty binders that nobody wants to open.
Okay, let's unpack this. We've got the technical documentation from OpenOLAT's Infinite Learning platform, and we have the automated enterprise reports from Auto Content API. I want to start with the fortress. What exactly is OpenOLAT? Because when I hear LMS, I usually think, you know, clunky software I used in college.
Well, OpenOLAT is fascinating because it's the total antithesis of that move fast and break things Silicon Valley model. It is 100% Swiss-made and Swiss-hosted.
Swiss-made usually implies two things. It's expensive and it works perfectly.
In the software world, it implies privacy and precision.
Yeah.
OpenOLAT frames itself around infinite learning, but the core appeal is security. That is why you see institutions like the University of Kiel or the Federal Academy for Security Policy, known as BAS, using it.
Wait, the Federal Academy for Security Policy?
Exactly. I mean, these aren't people who just put their data on some random cloud server.
No.
They need a system that is basically a digital bank vault. It's also used by major corporate players like Ernst & Young. They need a system that doesn't crash and, more importantly, doesn't leak data.
So it's a beast. I was looking at the feature list, and it's massive. It's not just a Dropbox for PDFs.
Oh, not at all. No, it's completely modular. They have e-testing, which is a really powerful environment for exams. They have course design, which is like a construction kit for building these complex learning paths.
Right.
They have collaboration tools like forums and Big Blue Button for web conferencing.
I noticed they also have a video module. So you can integrate videos directly into courses, and not just for passive viewing. You can add interactive questions.
That is a key feature. But here's the friction point. In OpenOLAT's own list of services, I found something really interesting. They explicitly list content production as a service they offer.
Wait, so the people who build the platform are also offering to make the content for you?
Yes, because they know their clients struggle with it. The SORG material notes that clients often lack the time or the equipment to create professional e-learning courses.
Okay.
They have the platform, the fortress, and they have the knowledge in their heads. But getting it out of their heads and into a format that a 20-year-old student or a busy executive actually wants to consume, that is the bottleneck.
Which brings us right back to the empty shell problem you mentioned. You have the vault, but you don't have the gold to put inside it.
Precisely. And that is where our second player enters the stage, Auto Content API.
Okay, so I have to be a bit skeptical here. I mean, we see AI content generators launching every 5 minutes, paste this text, get a blog post. How is this any different from me just pasting a lecture into ChatGPT?
That is exactly the right question to ask. The differences in the architecture and the intent, Auto Content frames itself as industrial infrastructure.
Okay.
It's not a chatbot. It's a transformation engine.
Transformation versus generation. What's the distinction there?
Well, generation is write me a poem about a cat. Transformation is take this specific 50-page PDF on compliance regulations and, without adding hallucinations or making things up, convert it into a 15-minute audio summary. It respects the source truth, but changes the delivery mechanism.
Okay, that's a crucial distinction for that OpenOLED crowd. If I'm that Security Policy Academy, I do not want the AI to get creative with my safety protocols.
Exactly. And the feature that really jumped out and I think is most relevant to what we're doing right now is the audio aspect.
Yeah.
They call themselves the Notebook LM API alternative.
A audio revolution.
We know that audio is the fastest growing segment of content consumption. People listen while they commute, while they do dishes, at the gym. Auto Content can take a dense text, say, a compliance PDF or a lecture note, and turn it into a two-person banter-filled podcast episode.
Just like this.
Essentially, yes. It supports multi-speaker dynamics. And this is huge for retention. I mean, listening to a monologue is hard. Our brains tune it out.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to a conversation, that feels natural. It mimics radio shows.
And it's not just audio, right? I saw mentions of video, too.
Yes. Explainer videos using AI avatars and faceless video generation from text, plus quizzes and deep research summaries. The key word here is scale. We are talking about the ability to produce content hourly rather than weekly. They call it a content-led growth engine.
So we have the fortress, OpenOLAT, which needs content.
Yeah.
And we have the factory, Auto Content, which spits out content.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play matchmaker. I want to walk through some specific scenarios. How does this actually look in practice?
Okay, let's start with scenario A. I call this one the bingeable course.
I love that term because, let's be honest, nobody binges a PDF syllabus.
Exactly. So imagine you are a compliance officer at a bank using OpenOLAT. You have a new regulation update. It's 40 pages of dense legal text. You upload it to the course holder. What happens?
I can tell you what happens. Everyone opens it, scrolls to the bottom to see if there's a button that says, I agree, and closes it. Nobody reads it.
The click-through trance. Exactly.
Now
imagine an integration workflow. That OpenOLAT administrator uses Auto Content to convert those documents into a private podcast series.
So instead of regulation 404.pdf, I get a 15-minute audio episode where two hosts break down the concepts, maybe crack a joke about the jargon, and explain why it matters.
Correct. And because OpenOLAT has that specific podcast and video integration capability we mentioned, you can host these files directly in the course. You turn a 50-page syllabus into a 15-minute commute companion.
That drastically changes the user experience of learning. But there was another detail in the Auto Content source about voice cloning that I thought was wild. They call it the CEO paradox.
This is a really smart application. So in corporate training, employees want to hear from leadership. It matters if the message comes from the top, but the CEO of a company like Avaloq or Hamilton Services, both OpenOLAT users, they don't have time to sit in a recording booth for 3 hours to record intro videos for every single training module.
So they clone the voice.
They record a sample once. Then the API generates the CEO's voice, introducing the course, explaining the strategy, giving updates.
So, hi everyone. Welcome to the cybersecurity module. Here's why this matters. But the CEO is actually on a plane to Tokyo.
Exactly. It adds a massive layer of personal touch to what is usually a sterile corporate training environment without costing the CEO a single second of their time.
That is both cool and slightly terrifying, but I totally see the utility. Now let's pivot to the teachers, the professors. We talked about e-testing in OpenOLAT.
Right. This is Scenario B automated assessment, and this might be the biggest value add for universities.
Creating tests has got to be the worst part of teaching, I'm assuming.
It's incredibly tedious. You have to write the question, the correct answer, the distractors, you know, the wrong answers that look right. And you have to do it for every single chapter. Auto Content has a specific output for quizzes.
Okay, how does that work?
So picture a professor at the University of Kiel. They feed a textbook chapter into Auto Content. The API analyzes the text semantic analysis and generates, say, 20 multiple choice questions based on the key concepts.
And then what?
Then those questions are imported directly into OpenOLAT's testing module. You've just reduced a 3-hour task to a 3-minute task,
But hold on, is it just about saving time? Because I feel like there's a pedagogical argument here, too.
You hit the nail on the head. It's the testing effect.
Right.
We know from cognitive science that students learn better when they are quizzed frequently. Low-stakes testing helps retention, but no professor has the time to write a quiz for every single lecture.
So they don't do it. They just do a midterm and a final.
Exactly. But by automating the creation of the quiz, you can suddenly afford to have a quiz after every single module. You aren't just saving the professor's Sunday afternoon, you are potentially increasing the retention rate of the entire student body.
That's a huge shift. Now, there's one more scenario I want to touch on, because OpenAlot is global. I saw a testimonial from a company called Multicoisas in Brazil.
Yes, and obviously OpenAlot is huge in the DACH region, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. This brings us to Scenario C, global reach.
The language barrier.
The language barrier.
Yeah.
Auto content supports over 50 languages, and this is where the integration feels like magic. Let's say a course creator in Zurich creates a safety manual for a piece of heavy machinery. They write it in German,
Standard procedure.
but they have a branch in Brazil and a branch in the US. Usually, those branches have to wait months for a translation, or they just get the German PDF and have to struggle through it.
Which is a safety hazard.
A massive one. With this API, they upload that German PDF, auto content ingests it, and then outputs a Portuguese audio summary and English subtitles for a video.
And all of that gets hosted right on OpenOlit.
Instantly. There was a testimonial in the auto content source from a user named Luca Ferraro, who mentioned launching Spanish and English versions of their content on the same day.
So it effectively removes that translation lag where the satellite offices get training materials 6 months after headquarters does.
Precisely. It synchronizes the organization's knowledge base. Everyone is literally on the same page, even if that page is in a different language.
Okay, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, money. Because usually when we talk about high production value podcasts, videos, avatars, we're talking about big budgets, hiring agencies.
And this is where the cost arbitrage comes in. The financial analysis in the source material is honestly startling.
Give me the numbers. Role play the budget meeting for me.
Okay. You're the head of the history department. You want to make a podcast series for your students. If you do it manually, hiring a script writer, voice actors, an audio engineer, editing, you are looking at $150 to $500 per episode, minimum.
And that's if you do it on the cheap.
Right. Now you look at the auto content API pricing to generate that same episode. Roughly 10 cents to 2 euros.
Wait, from $500 down to 2 euros.
Yep. 10 to 200 credits in their system.
That's not even in the same universe. That's a rounding error.
It's a 99% reduction. And for video, it's similar. A short video drops from around $300 manually to about 4 euros.
So why does this matter specifically for the OpenOLED community?
Well, think about who uses OpenOLED. Schools, NGOs, public institutions like the BA-KES. These are organizations that typically have high knowledge capital, they know a lot of stuff, but low financial capital for media production.
They can't afford a video production team. They barely have a budget for coffee.
Exactly. But with this API, a public school district or a nonprofit can look like a media empire. They can produce broadcast quality assets on a shoestring budget. It democratizes the premium feel of education.
There's also this concept of thin content mentioned in the report. How does that apply here?
So, in the web world, thin content is a page with almost nothing on it. In OpenOLet, it's that empty course page, maybe just a title and a single link. It's discouraging for the learner. It feels
It
abandoned.
feels like the professor didn't care.
Right. Auto content prevents this. Because the cost is so low, you can automatically populate every single course page with a multimedia summary, a video intro, and a quiz. You never have a blank page again. You're furnishing the house instantly.
Okay, I'm sold on the why, but I know we have some developers and admins listening who are screaming, "How? How do you actually glue these two things together?" Because OpenOLet is a secure system. You can't just hack into it.
Right, this is the technical deep dive. OpenOLet is open source, which is great. It's highly customizable for Frentics. The developer behind it does custom integrations all the time. But auto content is headless and API first.
Okay, headless always sounds dooky. Can you explain that for the non-devs?
Think of a restaurant. A normal app is like a sit-down restaurant. You walk in, you sit at a table, you order from a waiter. A headless app is a ghost kitchen. There is no dining room. There are no waiters.
You just send the order in and the food comes out the window.
Exactly. You send the data, the text, via code, REST API, Python, node.js, and the food, the video or podcast, comes back. You can serve that food in whatever dining room you want. In this case, the dining room is OpenOLAT.
So practically, how does the connection work?
The vision here is a plugin or a script. A developer could write a webhook.
The webhook is the doorbell.
Yes. The moment a professor uploads a PDF to a specific OpenOLAT folder, the webhook rings the doorbell at AutoContent. It says, hey, new file. AutoContent grabs it, processes it, makes a summary video and a quiz, and sends them back via the API.
So the professor goes to get a coffee, he comes back, and the content is just there.
It's fully automated. The professor doesn't even need to log into AutoContent.
But what if I can't code? What if I'm just an admin who wants this to happen, but I don't know Python from a Python?
The sources mention integrations with no-code platforms like Make.com and Zapier, and this is huge for accessibility. You can build reaction loops.
Reaction loops.
Yeah, you can set it up so that when a new entry is made in a course calendar in OpenOLAT, it triggers a workflow to generate an audio reminder for the students. You don't need to be a software engineer to build these automated content schedules. It's moving from manual creation to automated orchestration.
You're just conducting the orchestra.
And that frees up the humans to do what humans do best. Mentorship, answering complex questions, emotional support. Let the bots handle the summary videos.
So let's zoom out. We've looked at the Swiss reliability of OpenOLAT the Fortress and the generative power of AutoContent the Factory. What is the big takeaway here? Because this feels like more than just cool tech.
Ideally, it's a perfect synergy. OpenOLAT provides the house. It's secure, structured, Swiss quality. It has the rooms and the plumbing. AutoContent provides the infinite low-cost furniture to make that house livable. It solves the production bottleneck that keeps e-learning from feeling modern.
And looking forward, the AutoContent report mentions something called the agentic future. That sounds straight out of sci-fi. What does that mean for an OpenLotta user?
This is the part that just blows my mind. We are moving toward a world where AI agents, like the ones powering search engines or personal assistants, need to read content to answer human questions.
Okay.
If your content is trapped in a messy PDF, the AI agent struggles to understand it. But if you use AutoContent to structure that data, to turn it into clear summaries, Q&As, and transcripts, you are essentially translating your human knowledge into machine knowledge.
So you aren't just making a podcast for the student today.
No, you are structuring your data so that future AI agents can understand it and teach it to students 5 years from now. You are future-proofing your OpenOLAT courses for the next generation of AI-assisted learning.
That is a wild thought. Your course becomes a database for the AI that helps the students.
Exactly. It creates a structured knowledge layer on top of the raw files.
Okay, here's my final thought for you listening. We've talked about cost drops. We've talked about efficiency. But I want you to think about your own pile of guilt.
Oh, we all have one.
You know, the one the browser tabs open for 3 weeks, the PDFs your boss sent you, the compliance docs you swore you'd read.
The read later pile that becomes the read never pile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If the cost of turning that pile into a broadcast quality podcast or a snappy video is nearly zero, what is your excuse for having boring training materials?
Or for leaving that pile unread.
Right. Imagine if your company's must-read docs were actually must-listen episodes. It's possible right now.
Yeah.
The fortress is built. The factory's open. It's just time to connect the wires.
Couldn't have said it better.
That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening, and go transform some content.
See you next time.